are setting the stage of expectation of what your son will do with his wife and what your daughter will expect of a husband. You are the coach. You!
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. Today, we're on part two of a message titled Parenting Your Child's Heart from our series, In His Image, Renewing Your Relationships. And parenting has got to be one of the most challenging, rewarding, beautiful parts of life. And it's been said, when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what comes out? Whatever's inside. And sometimes life squeezes us like that. And the stuff that comes out, we're not always so proud of it. And if you're like me, raising kids, you need help. You need all the help you can get. You want God's favor and His blessing. You want His direction and guidance. And you really are looking for, I've heard it said, there's nothing as humbling as being a parent. You're looking for God's deliverance in your kids' lives. You're looking for God's direction and protection. And the good news is that God's Word speaks about these things. God's Word gives us direction and guidance, and today's passage is all about that. In fact, Pastor Mark's going to be preaching out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, and this message is titled Parenting Your Child's Heart. And I just want to let you know, today as you're listening, if you're a parent, God wants you to be successful. He's entrusted you with these kids, and we're praying that this word would be an encouragement to your heart. If you want to share this message or any of our messages with a friend, the best way to do that is to download the Straight Talk app from iTunes, Apple Store, Google Play, anywhere you get your apps for your smartphone, and you can share any of our messages. It's totally free. It's a resource to help you be successful in your Christian life, and we're praying for you this week. May this message bless your heart.
What the Apostle Paul is telling us, and what Moses told us through the Ten Commandments, was that if you honor your parents, the result will be that in your life, there will be a sense of greater well-being and success and favor and open doors that will be poured into your life. And you will live healthier and longer if you show honor to your parents. I know you got that subscription to the health club and you're working out. And you're buying organic tomatoes at Trader Joe's. And non-hormonal milk at Whole Foods. That's all good and well. I'm glad you're doing that. But some of you need to say, and apart from all that health stuff, I need to honor my mother and my father so that there will be longevity and health poured into my life. You want to be more successful and you want to live longer and healthier? Most of us do. Then begin to show a degree of honor and respect towards your parents. That means, yeah, that aging father of yours or mother of yours, that when you pick her up, she tells you the same stories that you've heard before all your life. And still you're 50 years old and she's saying, put the sweater on, it's pretty cold out there. Mom, I'm not a little kid anymore. Yeah, but honoring means that you listen to the stories, that you take care of them while they're getting older because they took care of you while you were very young. Oh, I'm milking that with all I have with my kids. I'm telling my kids, oh man, when I get older, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to crank the music as loud as I can. I'm going to eat everything in your refrigerator. I'm going to leave the plates not cleaned up. I'm going to make sure there's pee on the toilet seat. I'm just going to make sure your house is a mess because I'm just making up for all the things you're putting me through right now. I'm going to put you right back to you when I'm older. So I'm just looking forward to it. I'm so excited about those days. Looking forward to it. Of course, they tell me, we're going to wheel you in a corner and just put you and let you slobber over yourself in a corner, Dad, if you try to do that to us. So we're kind of going back and forth with each other there. But there's a powerful thing when we begin to invest in the culture of our children so they begin to learn honor and respect. And let me just say one other thing about this obedience. It's important that you start when they're young. Too many parents get serious about parenting when their children reach the preteen ages and they realize they have a challenge on their hand. The time to start coaching your children is not when they hit 13 or 14. A lot of their life is set in stone by that time. You need to start early, earlier. They tell us that formative years are between 1 and 7. A lot of the battles of obedience and structure are fought in the early years of life and then reinforced as they get older. And some parents wait way too late in life to start trying to establish structure to their life, and so start early in life. The second thing, number two, not only do you need to develop a culture of honor and respect within your household, but you also need to start cultivating a culture of empowerment and encouragement. The Apostle Paul turns to the fathers, and by the way, fathers is generic for parents, mothers and fathers. And he says, fathers, parents, do not embitter or provoke your children to anger, or they will become discouraged. So for the children, it says, obey your parents. And for the parents, it says, do not provoke or embitter your children, which leads them to live a life of discouragement, or literally to lose heart. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 gives a parallel passage to this, and it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So our command toward our children is, don't turn your children bitter towards you. Don't exasperate them so that they lose heart. Don't turn them against you. And I believe that there's four ways that we turn our children against us, four ways that we embitter our children. And these were listed by a teacher professor called Ray Stedman. He did an excellent job on this. I believe there's four ways, and I agree with them. Number one, to ignore them. When you have children that you ignore relationally and are not engaged in their life, that will eventually lead to a sense of embitterment on their side. You say, Pastor, I'm trying to give my children what I never had. I know a lot of fathers that work 60, 80 hours a week. And when you say, well, why are you working these many hours? I'm working to give my kids a better life than I had. And so you're giving your kids all the toys, all the gadgets, the home and the cars, the opportunity and the vacations that you never had. But what your kids need more than that is not just your toys and gadgets. What they need is you. They need you present in their lives. And sometimes I hear father says, I don't know what's wrong with my kids. They have so much more than I ever had. We grew up in dirt poverty. I wish I would have had what they had. They don't appreciate what they have because I give them so much more. Yeah, you give them all these things, but what they really want is some of your attention. They need some of your involvement. They need you to engage in their life. So a father works hard hours at work and is there long hours and comes home and the little girl jumping up and down, Daddy, 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 look what I have on. Yeah, 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 honey, yeah, okay, I've had a long day. Dad, hey, Dad, can you throw the ball around with me? Yes, hon, you know, maybe, you know, I'm long day, and you just kind of brush them off when they're young. Honey, can you do something with the kids? The day will come when they're older that you're in your house and no one's going to come running to the door to say, Daddy, Daddy. Because they're up in the room with their headphones on or doing something else. And the day will come when, if you haven't engaged in their life, that you're going to say, hey, you want to come do that? No, I don't really want to do that with you. There's something powerful about engaging in the life of your children relationally. And every stage of life is different. When they're young, you're going to have to play with them and engage in their activities. When they're older, you're going to have to relate with them. And I think every parent struggles through this. I've had to sort of figure it out with my own children as they get older, and some parents are really good at one stage and really bad at another stage. I want a little tip of advice. I think that just understanding the difference between boys and girls. I have one girl, two boys. One girl makes up for drama for two boys. But what I've discovered is that with my daughter, she's always been, and women tend to be like this, they tend to be much better communicators. And so they like to talk face to face, quality time. So to this day, I still almost on a weekly basis have a breakfast date with my daughter. I take her out, we'll go to breakfast, and we'll talk. We'll just talk. And that comes very easy. We just chat, talk, how you doing? You know, great. We look forward to our daughter-daddy breakfast times. My boys, they wouldn't want to go to breakfast and talk. So how's things going? Good. How's school? Fine. How's sports? Great. Boys don't like to talk face-to-face. You get a teenage boy and sit down and put him in front of you and say, well, let's have a talk. He's going to look down, shuffle his feet. And he's, by and large, not going to engage in you. So what I've discovered with boys, and I discovered this, by the way, a good book that I would recommend by, I think I have it here, by Dobson, James Dobson, called Bringing Up Boys. We have a couple of these at our resource center. And I think I first read it in this book, Bringing Up Boys, where Dobson says boys are not face-to-face communicators. They're side-by-side communicators. And I've discovered this, that if I can do something with my boys, they will talk side by side while we're working out at the gym or playing sports or throwing a football in the yard, but they will engage in conversation openly and freely if it's side by side but not face to face. So I want to encourage you fathers, find an activity that your boys like to do with you. One of the things that I discovered early on, my boys were into sports, and so we work out together, go to the gym together. They would, you know, kind of push each other a little bit. Come on, wimp, aren't you going to do a little bit more than that? Now they do that to me. Come on, dad, you're going to push it to, come on, is that all you can do? It's like, ugh. But I discovered that the conversations that we have side to side were great conversations.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk Radio message called Parenting Your Child's Heart, which is from Pastor Mark Jobe's series called In His Image, Renewing Our Relationships. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Colossians chapter 3. We're focusing on verses 20 and 21 tonight. Tonight's Straight Talk message is called Parenting Your Child's Heart.
So, fathers, find something that your boy loves to do and do it side by side and engage in conversations. If you have a daughter, I think it can be more direct conversation. But do not let go of their heart. Because if you let go of their heart, you let go of the influence that you have in their life. The second way that we embitter children are not only to ignore them, but to indulge them. If you as a parent give your child everything they want, whenever they want it, all the time, you are raising a spoiled child that will eventually resent you because they're not learning the disciplines that they need to learn. Your three-year-old needs to know that the world does not revolve around her. Some of you have two-year-olds that have you wrapped around the finger and the whole world revolves around them. To indulge your children eventually produces a sense of restlessness, dissatisfaction, and spoilness. There needs to be a sense of not ignoring them, not indulging them. Number three, the way you embitter your children is to insult them. Some parents feel like they want to push their kids forward, and because your parents did it to you, you do it to your children, and so you make fun of them, belittle them, criticize them, have sarcasm with them, and you think, I'm just having fun, I'm just pushing them forward, but in reality, you are tearing down their confidence and their identity. When you use words of insult, when you make fun of physical characteristics of your child, Do you know how many women in America, college-age students, have eating disordered? Women have eating disorders. One out of every four. That means 25% of the women that are college-age in this auditorium have an eating disorder, oftentimes because they have body image issues, sometimes perpetuated by their parents. Oh, you're getting fat, mija. What's going on here? Aren't you gonna? And talking about things, saying things to them. Listen, you need to speak into their beauty, into their dignity, into their health if you want to. Health, but not body image. Let's be healthy. When you get mad, by the way, one of the worst things that can happen, and oftentimes parents escalate in their problem, and in order to try to get your children to do things, you find yourself screaming at them, "You lazy bum. You're never going to graduate from college. You're never going to do anything. You need to learn how to work. You're a failure. Or you're going to be just like your dad that I divorced 3 years ago, just like him." And sometimes in our anger to motivate, we let our words say a lot of things that are very cutting, demeaning, and that we may apologize afterwards, but the damage is done. Now, I want to say, if you do have an explosion like that, you by all means need to go into your room privately with your child, and you need to get at their eye level if they're young or if they're a teenager, and you need to sincerely apologize for how you've behaved. We're all going to make mistakes as parents, but children need to also learn that we take responsibility for our mistakes as parents and apologize as well. I've had many conversations, yeah, and it's humbling for a dad to do that, but I've had many conversations where I've had to go into my boys' room, sit down on their bed and say, "You know what? The way I told you that, how I said that, it was wrong. Would you forgive me, son? That was inappropriate for me to do, and that was out of line for me to do. Would you forgive me?" And normally they're very gracious. Not always. Normally they're very gracious and very forgiving in those ways. So you turn your children in bitter when you ignore them, indulge them, insult them, or intimidate them. I know that sometimes you escalate, and sometimes parents intimidate their children to get them to do what they need to do. And some of you came from old school, the traditional ways, old schools of trying to get your children to do what they do. And oftentimes those are intimidating, what I would call abusive ways of coercing your children to do what you want them to do. Coercive, abusive ways only give way to more coercive, abusive behavior in your children. You need to influence them by your leadership, not by any kind of physical abuse. Huge. Or not when you escalate to the point where you're teaching them that the only time they need to listen to you is when you're out of control in anger. Can I talk to you moms for a second? Yeah? Here's the pattern in a lot of households. Junior, go clean your room. I'm serious. It's a pigsty. Half hour later, not clean. I said you need to clean your room because it's a mess, and I'm not going to let you. I'm going to give you discipline if you don't clean it. Nothing happens. 15 minutes later. Did you hear what I had to say? Seriously? I'm going to do this. I'm going to take your. And not until you are having a fit of rage, throwing things around, screaming out the disciplines, how he's going to be grounded for a month unless he obeys, then suddenly he moves into action to do what you've asked him to do. Because you've coached him and trained him to know that until you raise your voice and scream at him, you're really not serious about implementing obedience. You have taught him that he doesn't have to listen until you're out of control. How many moms know what I'm talking about? What would happen if you change that? And if you say, "Junior, you have a half hour to clean your room. Half hour. After that, you lose electronics for the night. Calm, nice voice." In a half hour, they haven't been mobilized. And you say, by the way, Junior, you lose electronics for the night tonight because you didn't obey. Obey? I didn't know you meant tonight. I mean, I thought you meant last week. Electronics. I didn't know you meant TV and everything. I don't know. And if you do that enough and are consistent, what you will begin to discover is that your child will take you more seriously because you get what you create or what you tolerate. And some of you need to relearn some things about this so that your household doesn't have to be so crazy. There's another good book, by the way, Parenting a Strong-Willed Child, that I would highly recommend. How many of you think you have strong-willed children? Don't raise your hands. No, please don't. They may be in the auditorium. But probably a lot of you think, I got a strong-willed child. This is a great book about parenting strong-willed children. Children, the great thing about strong-willed children is they can ultimately be very strong leaders if you coach them in the right direction. So there is hope for your son or daughter yet to use their stubbornness for good things. And let me wrap things up with this. I'm talking to the lives of parents as you speak into the destiny of your children. I believe that you are called to be the CEO of your household, the chief encouragement officer. For every word of instruction that you give them, I want you to learn the power of encouragement. In Ephesians chapter 6, it actually talks to us about the power of, not only, it says, don't exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Listen to me for a minute. The full responsibility to train your children about values and spirituality does not fall on the shoulders of the church. We have your kids an hour and a half on Sunday morning. You have them the rest of the time. Your children need to learn spirituality, how to pray, how to read the Bible, the values that you live by through your household. Young boys need to see fathers sit at a meal table and say, let me pray blessing over this meal. And you lead in prayer over the meal. Young girls need to see mothers and fathers kneel beside their bedside and speak blessing in their life and pray over them. Not bring them to a pastor to pray over them. I'm happy to pray over them, but you need to be praying over them too. Speak into their destiny, into their life. Kids in your household need to learn to appreciate the Bible and Scripture because they see you in the morning opening up your Bible and they observe that you are reading the Word of God yourself. They need to see you wrestle through decisions, not as what is the best decision economically for this family, but what is the most godly decision. That they need to see you and your wife get on your knees together and seek God over the future of your career or whatever financial decision you're making. They need to see that you pray together. They need to see that this is more than just religion that you do on Sunday morning, but that God is at the center of your household and you are trying to please Him by the way you live your life, make your decisions, and parent and are married together. They need to see mom and dad, hello, love each other. They need to see mom and dad dating each other. The best gift that you can give your children to speak into their future marriage is you dating your wife and loving her, opening up the door, cultivating her, praying with her, bringing her flowers once in a while, having an awesome marriage so that your daughter grows up expecting, I want a man to treat me the way my dad treated my mother. You are setting the stage of expectation of what your son will do with his wife and what your daughter will expect of a husband. You are the coach. I pray that one day you walk your daughter down the aisle and she will look at you, Dad, and say, I want to have a marriage as good as you and Mom had, because you guys have shown me what loving each other for the long term really means. I want what you have. I want your daughter to be able to say that to you. And I realize that we have single parents in this household, in this spiritual household, in this family. And I know that some of you have been through painful divorces or separations and difficulty. But you know, you can still teach your children what godliness looks like. You can still impart into them the values and speak honestly about some of the things that you've learned through the process, mistakes that you've made, and things that you wish you would have done different. You still can impart value into the life of your children.
Well, that concludes part four, Parenting Your Child's Heart, which is part of Pastor Mark's series called In His Image, Renewing Our Relationships. We do invite you back tomorrow for part five, which will be called Who Are You Working For? Before you go, here's some information on Straight Talk and New Life. Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago. And if you enjoyed tonight's message, we invite you to download our Straight Talk app for free. You can find it at Pastor Mark's website, www.pastormarkjobe.com. That's pastormarkjobe.com. There you can also find out information on New Life Community Church's ministries, our other Straight Talk series that might be helpful for you and your family, as well as a Bible app that helps you to stay in the Word. Well, that's it for our Straight Talk team tonight. We hope that you've enjoyed our broadcast, and we thank you for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless.